time for this week's Message in the Bottle. As we talk wine with Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Fiddlehead and Brahma Grill. Eric, good afternoon. Welcome in, sir.
Good afternoon. Happy February vacation to all you parents and friends of parents out there. How y'all handling it? Good?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not as restful as when we were childless.
No. it's funny. Folks come in and I mentioned that it's vacation week, or my newsletter was about vacation. They're like, oh, that explains it. Like, yeah, there's not just a bunch of irresponsible parents just dragging their kids everywhere. We don't want to either. Yeah. Our kids don't want it. I had to bring my kids to work the other day. Just the look on their faces. Like, how about mom? No, mom, no. Just for half an hour. I'll distract you as best I can.
Yeah. How did that work?
Pretty great. Thank goodness for technology. Well, I don't know how my parents did it.
Yeah, I gain a whole new appreciation for what my wife goes through every day when we have vacation.
It's masterful. Yeah. And I love my kids. Like, I adore my kids, and they fascinate me. I can't imagine. We are here in February, in the waning weeks of February, talking about purity and wine and organicism and biodynamicism. And of course, last week we talked about heart wine and things like that. So we're going to kind of return to the earth today and talk about a couple of the different agricultural methods and revisit, you know, why people choose to do them in their particular vineyards and why it matters to you or why it shouldn't necessarily matter to you. And there's three main natural practices that you see popping up every day in the wine world. And so we're going to kind of talk about those three, and then we're going to try a really, really delicious wine that makes me think of it's like now that, you know, the baseball guys are reporting and stuff, like and there's a little grass peeping through. I heard Carrie talking a little bit, you know, just a little bit of your driveway peeping through. I'm starting to think about shellfish and there were people actually dining al fresco the other day, and I'm getting excited. So we're going to try one of my favorite wines from the Loire Atlantic coast and try that and think about the times we're going to be eating oysters. So agricultural methods, the three I want to talk about today are organic, you know, and that thing that everybody comes and asks me about, and the biodynamic, which less people ask me about, but that's increasingly, people are becoming aware of it. People are starting to write about it. And then the thing called lutte raisonné in French, which is basically, we really, really, really try to be natural, but if we're going to lose our entire crop, we're not going to lose our profits. But we'll talk about organic and why people decide to do that or don't decide to do that. Well, organic is, on its basic level, no chemical pesticides or fungicides. And that's very honorable, and it's much more doable in certain regions than others. There's certain regions, for instance, around Mendoza in the high mountains there in the Andes, where they don't need fungicide. It's not a thing. They don't deal with the kind of things that they do in some of the more humid, you know, Bordelais areas, for instance, mid-Atlantic coast kind of feel. So it's always foggy and damp. So that's easier said than done in some places. The other thing is, there's a 3-year transition period before you can even be certified. And there's a tremendous cost to that, because you do have to bring in these inspectors. You do have to sort of throw everything to the wind and decide to do this. It's a very long-term process. And frankly, for a lot of folks who sell all their product and have no real problem with that and don't seem to see the need for it marketing-wise, they don't tend to do that. They may practice organic agriculture, but they don't necessarily get it certified. And it's also important to remind you all out there in Radioland that some of the certification organizations over in Europe, for instance, where a lot of the wine comes from, don't necessarily meet the USDA standards. They're not recognized by the USDA, so it doesn't even necessarily matter. And then, of course, there's the big thing that's become clearer to me. One of the reasons that a lot of people don't go necessarily organic is that one of the things that's certified organic is the use of copper. And copper prevents germination of fungal spores, but it also leaches into the groundwater and isn't necessarily good for that. So a lot of people aren't really comfortable with that and shy away from it for that reason. Now, the next big thing is biodynamicism. I can't speak. Biodynamic agriculture. Biodynamic agriculture is organic, right? Before there was an organic, there was a series of speeches in 1924 by a guy named Rudolf Steiner. And this was in Berlin. And he espoused a lot of the, you know, chemical-free agriculture methods, but he also started talking a lot about things that don't necessarily... they're very hard selling points, I suppose, from a retail point of view. It's essentially you plant and harvest according to the movement of the spheres, and there's an entire calendar, and I've probably talked about it on this program many, many times, called the Biodynamic Calendar. You can go online and check it out. We're actually at around 6 o'clock today, heading into a good time to drink wine, by the way, according to the calendar. So pop a good bottle tonight. Also you use things like animal waste and repurpose it. Sometimes putting, for instance, cow manure in cow horns and planting them in the middle of your vineyard. And there's a whole component. If anybody would care to check it out, there's several different criteria that he lists and processes that he lists in order to do this. And there's a lot of people who are joining this movement, making wine in this way. And again, when you're telling people about it, people kind of look at you cross-eyed, and I say, I know, but the proof is in the bottle, and the wines are very often very elegant, very pure, very true to the terroir. And certainly the wine that we're going to drink today, which is made biodynamically, is, I mean, it tastes like the rocky coast of the Atlantic in France. Not that I've eaten the rocky coast, but you get my point.
But if you could.
If you could, and you didn't actually have to eat rock, but instead you could drink wine, well, there you go. Which is probably a good jumping off point for drinking this wine. So the wine we're drinking today, as I said, is made biodynamically. So this is a young couple, the Landrons, or the Landrons, they have converted to biodynamic agriculture, this wonderful little property. It's very small. They have basically two main vineyards that they draw from, with slightly different subsoils, which give slightly different slants to the wine, of course, because they are very true to the terroir. The wine I carry, the La Louveterie, is from the more schisty soil, and it's uber minerally, and it's just absolutely wonderful. I mean, as I said, it's like drinking rocks, but in a good way. And it's kind of briny, and it makes you crave these oysters in such a big way. Can you tell I want shellfish?
I can, yeah.
This is the worst thing. My wife is deathly allergic to shellfish, and so sometimes I just get going on these like fantasies, and then I know that I'm going home, and happily so, to kielbasa and pierogies.
Well, that doesn't sound bad.
It ain't bad. No, it's very good, you know. And this wine would actually be wonderful with that, because it would cut through that fat very nicely. So, but I have a biodynamically produced Alsace field blend at home instead. This is a wonderful wine for folks who are looking for nice, crisp whites that aren't Sauvignon Blanc, the same old, or Pinot Grigios. This is, again, a Muscadet. Muscadet comes, as I said, from this mouth of the Loire River. It's a very, very long river. It encompasses a lot of regions that we've tasted wine from, Vouvray, Chinon, and then Sancerre to the east. But this is from the real, you know, hard, blustery part of the Loire, where, you know, again, tons of seafood and hardiness. And just to the north of this is the famous apple vineyards of Normandy, where they make the wonderful Calvados, which is apple brandy. So, you know, you really get very bracing food from this part of the world, because it's kind of, you need it, you know? And I adore it.
This is fantastic. I don't even like oysters, and I crave them now. What have you done? Wow. That's good.
Oh.
Although a nice scallop or scallop, depending on how you like to say it.
I would love, you know, I'm a shellfish whore, and I grew up that way. And again, it's funny to me that I married a girl from Maine who can't even have a lobster, but it turns out okay, because I usually just have her portion. Oh, it's terrific. Her cousins all hate it. She comes from a large family, and the cousins always kind of learned that you sit next to her at like one of these lobster feeds, and you'd usually end up with, you know, more than your portion's worth. And then, of course, Christine would just like eat potato chips. And eventually they started making her like halibut. But, you know, it's funny to come up here and you know, deal with that. But yeah, I would eat any shellfish at any time, anywhere, provided, of course, it was not bad shellfish.
Well, yes.
You know, but this is the beauty about being on our Atlantic coast, and it's sort of the same deal. I mean, if you can imagine like what it's like to go out to, you know, on one of these really cold, nasty days out to the coast, out to Thunder Hole or whatever, and just stand there in the spray. That's where you're at with this, just on the other side of the world, and it's that's the kind of food and wines that you get from there, which is just awesome. Wow. So check it out, Muscadet, and it's the people. So the sub region is Sèvres et Mâts, which is spelled Maine. So people always think this is a Maine wine. So if you want to just screw with tourists, buy it for that. I don't know.
I wanted to mention this too from the newsletter, because I read this and I went, oh, spring is actually coming. One of your highlights is from the Tavolo Oils.
Oh, yes.
Oh, strawberry balsamic vinegar. Strawberry that just screams spring.
It's so good. It's brand new. People have been begging for it. And I also did want to mention, just before we run out of time, tomorrow, Women in Wine, part 3 at our store. So we've got Lou LaRoe. We've got a massage therapist. We've got someone who does goat cheeses and goat soaps and oils. And we've got essential oils. And we've there's so much stuff. So if you're a woman or love women or love to go to events where there's a lot of cool stuff, whatever, 5 to 7 p.m., Bangor Wine and Cheese, tomorrow. Come check it out, and come check us out any day.
There's a plan right there.
Cheers.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese, message in the bottle every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown.